I have one more thing that I want to share that ties in with Mother's Day before we open up the scriptures. Something I've wanted to share, especially since we've been in this series, that's been about the orphan spirit. So this is actually something our church did a few weeks ago that I've been waiting to share. I'm like, it'd be perfect day to share it on Mother's Day. It's something we did with an organization called the Friends of Foster Kids, which is an organization based in Sterling Heights. Amazing group of folks there. Today can have a sting to it for kids in the foster care system, where kids have birth parents, a birth mom or birth dad, who for whatever reason, and sometimes reasons are super complicated, couldn't care for them, and so foster parents, God bless foster parents for stepping up. But if you're in the foster care system and you're a senior, when Mother's Day hits in May, you know that high school graduation is right around the corner. And something you may not realize in the foster care system, while seniors, and I remember class 91, like May and June of 1991 was like just the best 2 months of my life. Like, woo, can't, you know, wait to be done with Fraser High School. God bless it, but I can't wait to never go back, you know, and just loved and looked forward to graduation. But if you're in the foster care system, what happens when you turn 18 is it's called aging out. You age out of the system. You age out. And you're on your own. And so, thanks to the Friends of Foster Kids, they have a program specifically for seniors who are graduating. It's called Hats Off to Grads. And again, so it's teens who are graduating, who are aging out of the foster care system. Again, whether or not they're going to go to college or simply live on their own. They are on their own at that point. And so, what Friends of Foster Kids does is incredible. They have each high school senior write out like a dream list, just all of the wishes, all the things they would dream of and things they would need. And again, as they enter that next stage of life, and you can imagine that that list is pretty long. It's extensive. Their needs are huge. Because, again, if they go to college, there's a ton of things that they don't get that other kids just kind of get. On a very practical perspective, they don't have a parent to do their laundry on the weekends. It's kind of like, yeah, man, wow. They don't have a place to go on Thanksgiving. And so as a church, we do something called tithe on our tithe. And what that means, since our church launched in 2010, where we give away the first 10% of every dollar that's given to the mission. And so when you give your tithes and offerings, when we have that moment where we invite you to give to the church, the first 10% of what is given away in very, very strategic ways. And I'm super excited. I thank Greg Gortat, who is a key member of the Compassion Task Force. Brad Stahl, our associate pastor, oversees it. Here's a great slide. Some of you probably did not know. Our Compassion Task Force gave $7,500 to Friends of Foster Kids to bless kids in the program as they graduate high school and head off to college. Come on! Like, that is great. And so what that means, come on. Yeah, Jameson's excited. Come on. Yeah, we should all be like him, honestly. That was like much too much. Oh, $7,500 to Friends of Foster Kids. Come on! All right, anyway, sorry. Well done, Jameson, for real. What that means, very practically, is that we bought everything on the list of six kids in the program. Like, everything on the list. There was not like, and they had the list, they didn't have a line drawn, hey, everyone, everything up to here. No, the whole list for six kids as they enter this next stage of life, which is incredible. That's a game changer. For them, it really is. And I'm sure it makes them feel special, which is what this sermon is all about. And so again, when you give to the mission, right, yes, you make church happen on Sundays, you make everything happen, see, all week long, all of the ministries, but you also make stuff like that happen, which is awesome. And I have to give a huge thank you to Bev Boussam. Bev has been the catalyst for the past few years to connect us with Friends of Foster Kids, and she has been leading the charge in the ongoing partnership we have with Friends of Foster Kids. So thank you, Bev, wherever you're at. Thank you, Bev. So I want to celebrate that with you today as we talk about living like orphans in the Father's house, how to break off the orphan spirit and how to transform our orphan hearts and talk about some real orphans and ways that we were able to bless them through Friends of Foster Kids. So that's pretty cool. So 1 month ago, we launched a series called Living Like Orphans in God's House. This series has been about our identity, about how God wants us to believe who he says we are. Today is week 5 of the series. It's called You Are Special. And I truly pray that that sermon title is prophetic for you, that you would hear, just as I'm preaching, the Father, God the Father, say those words to you. You are special. You would hear that from God. And so today I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm going to ask questions about unquestioned beliefs. We all have them. We all hold them dear. There are a number of beliefs when it comes to God and just in general, where there's tons of things we believe, tons of things we know to be true, but we often haven't thought about, well, why are they true? Or why does it matter that they're true? So we're going to question some unquestioned assumptions today. And so to explain what I mean, and I want you to answer this question out loud. Unlike a day like today, which is 50 degrees, overcast, and rainy. Happy Mother's Day! On a normal, beautiful summer day in Michigan. Not your question. What color is the sky?
Blue.
Yes! Well done, my man. Jameson again leading the way, blue. I had to ask that because at the first service, people shout out, gray. You know, I'm like, I don't know, you know, today it is, but blue, right? The sky is blue. Now, we all believe that, but the question is, why is the sky blue and not like orange? And why does it matter that it's blue? And by the way, I'm not going to answer those questions today because I am not smarter than a fifth grader. Like, I am not. Every once in a while, I used to be an engineer, so I have that in my background, and so I'll Google, like, why is the sky blue, and I'll read about it, and then I'll forget about, like, 10 minutes later. I'm like, I still can't explain it. But we know the sky's blue, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's very interactive today. It's awesome. I love it. I wanted to share that as an example to point out what I just said. Again, there's tons of things we believe, things we know to be true, but we never thought about why they're true or why it matters that they are the way they are. And so with that in mind, I want now to ask a question that really presses into where I'm headed in my message today, in my sermon. It's this. It's why did God choose to create anything at all? Have you ever thought about why anything exists at all, whether it's stars or planets or blue skies or people? I mean, we all know that we exist, that our planet exists, but have you ever thought about why? Why God chose to make anything at all? I mean, after all, like, it would have been a lot easier for God, a lot less complicated, if he was all there was, right? So why did God choose to create anything at all? Now, to answer that question, I want to take you back to the nature of God himself. As Christians, we believe God is a personal God. God is personal. God is not a force like the force in the Star Wars movies. God is not some impersonal power of the universe, right? God is personal, and he is a trinity. He is triune in his nature. And so for all eternity, as far back as you can imagine, and then to make your brain melt to think even beyond that, as far back in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were in a perfect relationship with one another, a perfect community, three in one, defined by love. And so they did not need to create anybody in order to love. They had the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They didn't need to create anything because they were lonely. They didn't need to create anything because they were bored. Like, man, what do you want to do, Jesus? I don't know. Let's make stuff. You know, it's not. God chose to create because of what he is. In his core, in his nature, in his essence, the scriptures teach us. John the Apostle wrote this. God is love. And so the reason why God chose to create anything at all is kind of like when a husband and wife choose to have children. It's not because they need to have children, but it's because they want to share their love with others. They want to expand their love. And the same goes for God. And so some scholars and theologians have said it this way. They've said that God's love overflowed in creation, that the triune love of God could not be contained, and so it burst forth. It burst forth in creation. In the book of Genesis, in the creation account, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Right? Women created in the image of God. Men created in the image of God. And so when God chose to create human beings, he actually did so. This is what oftentimes it's in the scripture. It's right there in plain sight, but we often don't really comprehend why God chose to create the way he chose to create. Because when he made human beings, he chose in his sovereignty to create them in a different way than how he made everything else. See, when God made everything else, he just spoke some words, and what said came to pass. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be dry ground." There was dry ground. God said, "Let there be animals." And there were animals. But beyond speaking those words, God was hands-off. He was hands-off on how he created. He simply spoke, and it was. But when it came to making Adam, God did not just say, "Let there be Adam." He could have done it that way. But instead, here is what it says in the creation account, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So just imagine that. God, when he chose to make human beings, it was very intimate. He formed Adam with his own hands, kind of like a potter with clay. And then God the Father breathed his very breath into Adam. I pray that God gives us the ability right now to use your imagination. Picture that moment and how incredible that moment must have been. Imagine the moment that the breath of God, the very breath of God, entered into the lungs of Adam. And now imagine, if you can, God, give us the ability to do this. Imagine that you were Adam in that moment. You're Adam. You're in the moment of the creation account of Chapter 2 of Genesis. Imagine in that moment, the very first voice that you hear is the voice of God the Father saying, "Hello, my child. You are special." The first face you ever saw is the beautiful and glorious face of God the Father smiling at you. The first touch you ever felt is the Father's touch caressing your face. The first emotion you ever felt is the perfect love of God the Father. And then imagine like the Father giving you a tour of your new home and focusing on the garden. A garden that is truly paradise. Just imagine you were Adam. Words cannot describe what you'd be thinking and feeling if you're Adam. I mean, that's just like, So again, you could say that God created humanity the very same reason why a husband and wife choose to have children, to create a child, to share their love with others. Now, this is super important. If you're a parent and you, again, say, okay, you know what, we feel God's calling us to have kids. If you decide to have children, you better take into consideration where the child's gonna live, right? So what happens is a typical mom or dad, they rearrange a bedroom, And maybe it gets converted from being an office to a nursery or a spare bedroom, those type of things. And God's the same way. God's the same way. Instead of though giving Adam and Eve a nursery, he gave them a planet and a garden on that planet. And so with that in mind, I want to share a quote from you from Rex Berger in a really good book called Our Father's Heartbeat. Here's what Rex Berger writes. He says, "I believe it was our Father's desire for children that birthed his plan for creation." Let me say that again. "I believe it was our Father's desire for children that birthed his plan for creation." He says, "Could it be that everything that has been created came out of our Father's desire to have children?" He says, "If that is true, all of us need to sit back and let it soak into us just how special we are to our Father's heart and how much he delights in and pursues us." He says, "We all know that a parent would be seen as having a lapse in judgment if when deciding to have children, they did not take into consideration the home in which they would be raised." He says, in a sober way, "I once heard a 7-month pregnant homeless woman say in frustration, 'I don't know what I can do. I can't bring a baby home to a cardboard box.'" He ends with this. He says, "Perhaps it is the nesting quality that our Father possesses that led to the creation of all that exists. In that case, everything he created exists for the comfort and care of what is most precious to his heart, his children." I mean, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. So Kelly and I got married in 2004, and we got married in our 30s, and so we hoped to start a family right away, and we were unable to. We struggled with infertility for a full 30 months, and that was a nightmare for us. I know saying that, some of you have stories that are like, that ain't nothing, and so this is, I know, it's a battle. But for us, for our struggle, we struggled with infertility for 30 months, and just by the grace of God, on Kelly's actual birthday, on her birthday, she took a pregnancy test and found out she was pregnant. First time you ever had a positive test in 30 months. It was just like, it was one of those like, no way moments that I shared last week. And I still remember we're in the parking lot of P.F. Chang's by the Somerset Mall when I gave Kelly a birthday gift. And she's like, "Oh, I have a gift for you too. It's in the trunk." I'm like, "Oh, okay, what is it?" And I go in the trunk, and it's packaged. I'm like, "Wait, this is your birthday. Like, what's going on?" It was a Pooh Bear stuffed animal holding a positive pregnancy test. So that was on her actual birthday. She found out she was pregnant. And so the preparations began. For our firstborn. By the way, I'm talking about Faith, who played keyboard on the worship team today. She's almost 14. She'll be 14 in about 2 weeks, May 21st. So preparations began for Faith Sophia. My office got moved into the basement at our house, and my office became a nursery, which I was happy for us to convert. We went to Bye Bye Baby. And we went to Babies R Us when there was a Babies R Us. And we went to a few other furniture stores to shop for the perfect crib. Because you had to have the perfect crib and matching furniture for their rooms. Here's a picture that we took back in the archives at Babies R Us. No goatee for me. I put on a lot of sympathy weight for this pregnancy. It was, but like, and I'm really happy, but I'm not smiling there. I should be smiling. But it's kind of funny how you take pictures of stuff like that when it's your firstborn, right? Even when you're shopping for baby furniture, and there's albums and albums and albums you take of your firstborn, and then baby number two comes along, and you're good if you got like one picture a year, you know, in that ballpark. Just because of how overwhelmed you can be as a parent. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So after shopping for furniture for her room, we went to two of my favorite places on the planet, Home Depot and Lowe's, and a few other paint stores to buy the perfect colors of paint for our firstborn. And one color of paint was not good enough for our little girl. We wanted her to have a two-tone room, one color across the top half of the room, another color across the bottom half of the room. And if you have a two-tone room, then you need something called a wallpaper border. The things you learn. You need that wallpaper border to provide that transition. And it needs to be the perfect wallpaper border to provide that perfect transition between the two colors of paint. So here's a picture that Kelly took while she was pregnant of that perfect border. And that does not do justice to just how perfect that was. Kelly, like, scoured the internet to get that perfect wallpaper border. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. On and on and on it went. And that is what we did for our daughter, for Faith Sophia. And we are far from perfect parents, but that's what parents do, human parents do. And that's what our heavenly dad did too. God wanted to have children, so he made a planet for them and a garden, a paradise in particular, for them to live in. And as amazing as that is, God did even more than that. Because what God did doesn't just pertain to the beginning of creation. What God is doing pertains to the new creation as well. So here is what Jesus said in speaking about our existence after we die, and speaking about eternity, and speaking about the new heavens and new earth. It says this in John chapter 14. Jesus said this: "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Now, I could have taken those words from Jesus and reworded them like this. When Kelly was pregnant, we could have told Faith while she was still in the womb, because all parents talk to the babies in the womb, it's a good thing. When Kelly was pregnant, we could have taken the words of Jesus and told this to Faith. We could have said, "In our ranch in Shelby Township, there are many rooms, three to be exact. If it were not so, I would have told you." I could have told Faith, "I am going there to prepare a place for you. Actually, if I'm honest, mommy is going to be doing more than daddy, because your daddy's not really a handyman. And if mommy and daddy," in that order, "if mommy and daddy go and prepare a place for you, when you are born in the hospital, we will come back and take you to be with us, that you also may be where we are." Isn't that cool? And the scriptures teach that God is doing the same thing for us, that God created this planet for us to live on, to thrive in, like right now. And as amazing as planet Earth is and everything that we can see, sun, moon, stars, the rest of the universe, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for us. Because what God did in creating the earth, Jesus is doing the same thing in the heavens. Right now, the scripture says Jesus is preparing a place for us, a place where believers and followers will live in eternity, a place where there is no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain, no more suffering, no more disease, no more hurt. By the way, if you are in the room today and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, and maybe even right now you're feeling like you're encountering God, you might not even be able to use those words, but you're feeling, you can't even put it to words, but you're feeling God doing something, that's one of the reasons why we have a prayer team that loves to pray for people at the end of the service. I would love to pray for you. Just we love for you to come forward after church ends and just connect the dots, and you can just say, "Yeah, I'm encountering God, and I'm not sure even if I believe in God, but I'm feeling like I need to begin following Jesus, and we would love to pray with you to connect those dots for you so that you can surrender your life to Jesus and follow him. Just I pray that over those who need to hear those words. So God created this planet for us to live on right now. And as awesome as this planet is, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for us. Because again, what God did in creating the earth, Jesus is doing the same thing in the heavens. And so with that being said, I want to give you an action step that I really pray this week that you pray into. That maybe if you're doing like a barbecue or a cookout or going out to brunch or dinner, wherever you're going, have this conversation. Ask this question. What does the existence of heaven and earth say about how God feels about you? I mean, what is the existence? The fact that heaven exists and earth exists. What does that say about how God feels about you? It'd be a great question to press into, to dialogue about. And I hope that as you're hearing this sermon and as you're beginning to answer that question, even right now, that you are beginning to realize because of what God has in store for us that goes way beyond an all-wood crib and two colors of paint and the perfect wallpaper border. I have another question for you. Do I really believe how special I am in God's eyes? And I ask that question in the first person for me, because I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to you. And I would love each of you to ask that question for you. Do you really believe how special you are in God's eyes? See, the truth is, when our daughter Faith was born, and we brought her home in the car seat, and we took her out of that car seat, and we put her in her crib for the first time, in her nursery for the first time, Faith Sophia had absolutely no idea how much we loved her in that moment. She had no idea how special she was to us. She had no idea the work that went into her room, the attention to detail, the labor of love that it was. And the way that we feel about our daughter is nothing compared to how God feels about you. So I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that he would do something in us, like right now, where we would begin to realize just how special we are in God's eyes. That you would dare to believe that. That you wouldn't have to strive to believe it, but it would just bubble up. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would believe that. That you would believe that in the Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, Jesus would have told us. But he is going there to prepare a place for us. And if he goes and prepares a place for us, he will come back and take us to be with him. That we also may be where he is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.